to get it?
And against the ungodly people. For the deceitful and unjust man, deliver me. For you are the God in whom I take refuge. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go about mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill, to your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. And I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. We ask now, Lord, through the words of your Scripture, that you would reveal light and truth to us, that come to us by your Holy Spirit. May you shape us into the likeness of your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, Psalm 43 is a psalm that happens to be one of the psalms that is regularly echoing through the soundtrack of my mind. And there's a reason for it, the first being that I love the progression of it. It's a short psalm, but it's simple. It starts off with an honest acknowledgement of the frustration this author feels towards God, brought about by these, what you can imagine being very distressing circumstances of whatever injustice he's experiencing at the hands of his enemies. And to the point where the joy of his faith has been restored. It's not really an indication that his circumstances have necessarily changed, but the perspective of his heart surely has. Well, the words of this psalm also were put to a tune by one of a favorite artist of mine and Shannon's, Sandra McCracken. Maybe you've heard of her before, but she uses this psalm and a whole album of psalms to express just the full scope of emotions that are felt in this world that we feel as followers of God. And doesn't that just seem right to you, that this psalm would be echoing through our minds? It's meant to be sung, right? Because we know, and I'm sure you've heard before and have already known, that the psalms are a collection of hymns used by God's people for their corporate worship and their personal communion with God. And maybe you too have found one of the words of the Psalms to be on your mind regularly. Maybe it was during a time of rejoicing and a time of gladness and thanksgiving, which we read throughout the Psalms and many times. Or maybe there was a time when your heart just aches beyond words, and yet you found the same sorrow that your soul was experiencing reflected in one of the verses of this author. You see, the Psalms provide all the words we need to give a voice to some of the deepest emotions that we feel as God's people in our souls. And this psalm, the psalm we just read, encourages you and I to express without fear even our disappointments with God. Because oftentimes we do feel disappointed. There may be times where it seems like God has cast you aside. You know, why else would you experience what seems to be a setback after setback? And what we see confirmed in these words is, despite your circumstances, those who seek refuge in God will never be rejected. And even more, God uses even our mistaken beliefs about him and his ways to draw us closer to himself. So as we look at the first couple verses here, we see that when you feel distant from God, which oftentimes we all do at different times in our lives, when you feel distant from God, take refuge in what is true. And what's true in these first couple verses? Well, we see here that God hears your prayers. That is something that we know for sure is true. Vindicate me, O God. Defend my cause against an ungodly people. From the deceitful and unjust man, deliver me. See, in verse 1, the author here is describing what's going on in his life, the circumstances that surround him. And then in verse 2, he goes on to give us a window into how his soul is responding. Vindicate me, O God. You know, the circumstances that are bringing trouble upon him is the oppression he is facing by his enemies. And there's no way to know for sure what he's specifically referring to here. But we can imagine that his life is probably in danger, and he's living in a constant state of fear. And if you've ever had a run-in with somebody who's truly out to get you, who's seeking to retaliate against you, well, you can understand the constant level of anxiety this person feels in bondage to. And in verse 2, we get this description of what's going on inside. Because we always take what's going on outside and process it into what's going on within us. Well, part of his heart, it seems, here is taking refuge in God, right? For you are the God in whom I take refuge. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go about mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? So part of himself is taking refuge in God, and God has not let him go, and he's not let God go, but he can't understand why God would allow his enemies to mistreat him so much and get the upper hand against him. When he says, "Why have you rejected me?" he seems to mean, you know, God, why have you turned your back and let the enemy make my life miserable? You're my refuge. You've given me over to the mistreatment of my enemies, and there's darkness around me. See, the author's soul is truly in a state of confusion, and wouldn't you be there yourself as well? Maybe it's similar to an experience that you've had. You know, when you're confronted with circumstances that are clearly outside your control, and they go against what you would expect from God, you're confused about how to respond. On one hand, you know that God loves you, and he's given you instructions about how to please him. And as far as you know, you try to do these things. And on the other hand, you're faced with a situation like we read in Psalm 43. You know God to be your refuge, but you're not sure why he would bring pain into your life and strife upon you. And so what do? Well, like the psalmist, you probably ask God why. That's where we start. We wonder why. Why have you rejected me? The psalmist cries out to God. Notice that he's not asking in a way that puts God on trial. He's not demanding that God better come up with a good reason for his purposes. He asks why as a request of his search, a wondering. Lord, show me the purpose of what you are doing in this difficulty. I can't stand not knowing. I long to know why. Help me understand your ways. Help me to trust you more. And think about that for a minute and ask yourself, you know, how would you respond in a situation like this? Or if it's not specifically like this, in a similar situation where you feel out of control or suffering or strife has come upon you. If you're treated unjustly and it came down to your word against someone else's, well, depending on the details, it might leave you in a place of feeling hopeless, believing that nothing seems to go your way, including this, and maybe I deserve it anyways. And if that's the case, why even bring it up before God? Or you might be inclined to go on the attack yourself, take control of the situation before it or anyone else controls you, looking for your own opportunity to strike and retaliate against that person who's causing you so much trouble. You know, either way, taking matters into our own hands is going to lead to distancing ourselves from God and from others in an effort to protect ourselves, because we find it hard to trust other people. And those self-driven efforts, do they develop the kind of spiritual fruit that God promises to work within his people? And no, right? Are they a reflection of the way Jesus would have walked? And the answer to that is no. Even if you cannot retaliate, or I'm sorry, even if you cannot relate to the psalmist's specific circumstances of being hounded by his enemies, there's certainly situations, especially in relationships with other people, that bring strife. And maybe you aren't even enemies, but you have a hard time dealing with them. Well, instead of handling things in our own strength, we're called to pray like the psalmist. Pray not as a way of asking God to know your secret purposes, Lord, to let me in so that I might judge whether they're right or true or if I should follow them or not. Pray with a desire to know that you're supposed to learn from this circumstance and that God has given you all the grace necessary to persevere and promises to continue showering it upon you. Praying, Lord, I'm wanting to know what you're trying to teach me here. That's what the psalmist is praying here. And God hears those prayers. He hears them. No matter how hard things may look, he never rejects those who are seeking refuge in him. And so he asks you to open up your heart to him. Bear it all to him and ask that God would lead you. Which is what we see in the following verses that come our way, verses 3 and 4. We can be certain of what comes next. When you feel distant from God, you take refuge in him, you can know for sure what is true is God will guide you. He will lead you. He hears your prayers and he will lead you. Verse 3 says, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and I will praise you with a lyre, O God, my God. Send out your light and your truth. Like a search party, here is the metaphor that we should have in mind. You're looking for that helpless, lost child in the dark, whatever it might be. Send out your light and your truth. Bring me to safety. Help me find you. And I know here the psalmist admits God is his refuge, but he feels forsaken. He feels rejected. On one hand, he knows what is true, but his feelings just are not matching it up. I know God's true. I know that he loves me. I know his promises will never leave me or forsake me, but I don't feel it. Can you relate? That's what it feels like to be distant from him, doesn't it? God is his refuge, and what is what he claims, but he feels rejected and forsaken. And isn't it true that our feelings can oftentimes just hijack what we believe to be true, and then we start living out of that very false sense of reality? Well, the psalmist here is praying for spiritual light, which we were talking about just a minute ago. Spiritual light that lets our spiritual eyes of our heart see what is true. To see spiritual realities. And so he prays that God would rescue him, not just from his enemies, but from that serious condition of that darkness, of the fog that can overwhelm and consume your soul in these circumstances, like the one he faced, that causes that greatness and the beauty and the love and the closeness of your relationship with God to seem to fade out of sight. He's calling you back. He's rescuing you. He's searching for you. And our spiritual eyes long to see truth, because that's what you see when God's light comes and reveals it to us. And we see that truth in his word, and as his spirit works within us, we're able to understand it and apply it. And so truth is what is real. So send out your light to my soul, Lord. Let me see the things that are really true. And as you do, protect me from the illusions and the false hopes that may consume my mind and my heart. And consider in your own moments of difficulty, who does God reveal himself to be relevant to this situation? When we're in a time of trial, when we're in a time of difficulty, who does God promise to be in this moment? Well, the author of this psalm trusts that God alone is his secure refuge from his enemies, regardless of the torment they can wield against him. We know that to be true in God's word. From Psalm 18 there, he's a shield for those who take refuge in him. We also know that God is his only judge, leaving the judgments of his enemies baseless and his heart open to bear before the Lord. He says, "Vindicate me, judge me, Lord. Look within my heart and know that my motives are pure. I'm trying to live for you. Search me out, Lord. Look deep within me." What about you and I? Well, we know that the experience of this psalm described was lived out by Jesus himself, who before going to the cross confessed to his disciples there in the garden that my soul is sorrowful, even to death. The weight of what lay ahead for him, bearing the sins of his people on the cross, experiencing the rejection of his Father on our behalf, his soul was sorrowful even to death. He experienced the mistreatment of his enemies. The injustice was leveled against him. And you and I, and the psalmist included, we may feel at times that we've been rejected by God based on the sum of our circumstances, but the truth is, your sins will lead to God's rejection when he judges the hearts of all people. And for those who have put their full trust in Jesus, the rejection on the basis of your sins has already been experienced by Jesus on your behalf. So you don't need to fear God's judgment, because he will judge you based on the righteousness he secured through his Son's perfect life. It's yours when you trust in him alone. But apart from him, apart from Christ, there is no other safe place of refuge from God's judgment of your sin. It's yours alone to bear. So trust Jesus instead, is what the gospel commands us. Trust Jesus instead and be free from that burden of death. Well, notice how God is leading the author here in this psalm through the fog, through the darkness of his suffering. He starts off pretty distant. He's questioning God, wondering, "Where are you? I feel rejected, distant from God because of his circumstances." He doubted God's goodness, yet seeks refuge in him as God continues to lead him. And the Hebrew word here for refuge describes for us what might be known as like a strong mountain stronghold, something to that effect. And from that distant mountain stronghold where that psalmist is seeking refuge or describing the refuge that he is longing for, from that distant mountain stronghold in verse 2, trace out how God is leading him. Because it goes from mountain to holy hill, to his dwelling, and then to his altar. And where does it end? To God himself. That's where God is bringing you and I. Though we may feel distant, he's calling you back to himself. He's leading you home. The psalmist looks for God to meet him in worship, even though he's estranged. He expects God to bring him back to the sanctuary, back to the place where his temple is, back to the corporate worship of God with God's people. And there's no better place for a sinner to be, right, than at the altar of God, because there we see Jesus Christ. And when you live in sight of the cross, when we see it there before us, living in faith, you can be certain that you are safe and secure because of what he has done for you. Do you see how the light of God's truth embraced in your heart bears the spiritual fruit even in the midst of suffering? It's way different than taking things under our own power. Do you see what life looks like for those who can say, "God is my exceeding joy"? Knowing that even our suffering, though we may not know exactly how or for what specific purposes they're ordained by God, they encourage us to seek Christ more, to need Him more, and to look to Him and the grace He sustains and provides for us. We look to Christ, who walked the same path of distress and promises His grace to enable us to persevere. So wallowing in self-pity, assuming the worst, is the fruit of believing that you've got to earn God's favor. And because you got to earn it, you must not be measuring up, because life is going pretty poorly. Instead, what God is calling you to is to believe, to take heart of what God says and promises, that He has blessings in store for you, that He has secured, and He'll prove faithful even through the sufferings that you might experience in this life. Similarly, if you are assured that Jesus is your only refuge, you know, you don't need to retreat from others out of fear of trying to protect yourself and not trusting others. God promises to walk with you, to protect you even from your enemies. And when you're free to love others, to engage with them, and to be in fellowship. But see, bearing light in a dark world is a dangerous calling. We know that to be true. You've experienced it yourself. You can expect to be burned at times. But at the altar, in God's dwelling, you don't just find God. You find the peace that He provides, and you find God's people who are an encouragement to you as well. You're called to be blessed and to be a blessing to others. And the light of God's truth frees you from believing that the only person you can trust is yourself. So when you feel distant from God, what do? We pray, knowing that God hears our prayers. We trust what is true, knowing that God will lead us, and He does lead us. He leads us closer to Himself, and He doesn't just do that with us, ourselves. He does it with all of His people together. And when you feel distant from God, take refuge, finally, in what is true, that God is your never-failing hope. In verse 5, the psalmist writes, "Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God." The author and pastor Martin Lloyd-Jones, maybe you've heard of him, he wrote a book titled Spiritual Depression, where this psalm gets used quite a bit, but he writes these words which are very significant to us and important for us to consider and apply. He writes that, you know, most of your unhappiness in life is due to the fact that you're listening to yourself instead of talking to yourself. Do you hear what he says there? Listening to yourself rather than talking to yourself. So what do? We take refuge in what is true. And how do we do that? You know what it means? Well, the fog that's brought on by the circumstances of our life that we face, it can bring us into a darkness that makes it hard for us to see what is actually true. Like an echo chamber that gets so talked about nowadays, that term to describe the constant looping of messages, similar messages that our minds just passively consume over and over through all the little media outlets that are available to us. The same thing goes on in our hearts. And when you hear the same messages delivered over and over, you hear yourself speaking to yourself over and over, you begin to believe them, whether or not they're actually true. And the same thing goes for our mind and the corruption that still exists within our heart. We've got to hand that over to God. We need to bring the truth of God's word, the light of His revelation to our hearts and our minds, and preach the truth to ourselves. He goes on to say, take those thoughts that come to you the moment you wake up in the morning. They bring you back to the problems of yesterday, whatever it might be, right? We can all relate to something similar to that. Somebody's talking to you. Who's talking to you? Yourself. Here in the psalm, it serves as an example. Take your thoughts captive. Ask yourself, why are you cast down, O my soul? Instead, hope in God. Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. So can you see now where God has led the author of this psalm? And where He will lead you as you look to Him alone for refuge in whatever circumstance life brings you or will bring you in the years to come? Why are you cast down? The answer to His question is sitting on the tip of our tongue, waiting to be voiced, is there's no good reason. The psalmist has convinced himself to believe in God, believing that his prayers would be heard, and that God would lead him, and that God would prove to be his never-failing hope. That's what he wants to prove to you this morning. And that's how the believer overcomes the despair, by running to him. We need his help. He invites you to trust him. And let's pray for that help. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your grace. Though we complain, though we struggle with the sufferings of this life, though we have difficulty understanding your purposes, Lord, we do give our hearts to you, knowing full well, Lord, that you are shaping us to become more Christ-like. You are growing our faith, and as you do, your Spirit is working within us. We look forward to the day, Lord, where we will not doubt, that we will be free from pain, that joy and gladness will just consume every reality of our existence as we live out our days in your presence. Lord, that is where we belong and where we are headed, and help us to remember those things as we seek you and serve you in this kingdom now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.